Hey friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right then, let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome back, friend. Hey, isn't it a bummer how fast Halloween comes and goes? One day it's ghosts and skeletons, and the next it's all mums and cornucopias and whatever else. Anyway, just in case you're bummed out about that too, I saved you some Halloween leftovers. No, I don't mean candy, boy. Oh, that's long gone. And just so you know, I don't think it's healthy for scaly marsupials to eat all that shit. Anyway, come on in, friend. Hey, check out simplyscarypodcast.com, would you? For as little as $7.99 a month, you can become a patron and keep this little operation running. And as a pleasant side effect, you can enjoy our whole catalog dating back to 2012. All ad-free and available to download or stream. Just click the patrons link and join the club. Got a five left over? Check out patreon.com/drewblood. I'm looking for like a million people to sign up. As you can imagine, I've got a few to go. Anyway, tonight we welcome author Jason Fisher. This one comes from his book Your Place Is Here Now, from Valox Books. In it, we revisit Halloween night in gruesome fashion. So without further delay, from author Jason Fisher, I give you Treats. It was just getting dark when the doorbell rang. Toby walked to the foyer after disentangling himself from helping his 8-year-old get into his Ninja Turtle costume. As the door opened, a gust of wind scattered a few random leaves across his foyer. The air was cold but had a hint of humidity in it. Standing under the dim light of the single bulb on his porch was a skeleton that had to be at least 6 feet tall. The costume was so detailed that it looked like it had come from a movie. It had fully articulated bones that appeared to float in space. Each one looked three-dimensional. Cleverly, they concealed the black suit that had to be covering the trick-or-treater's body. Toby, already frustrated by the very long day, said sarcastically, "Aren't you a little old for trick-or-treating?" The skeleton stood unmoving. Toby turned his head sideways, examining the costume and trying to figure out how it could look so hollow in the center. The skeletal face tilted to the side, mimicking him. Somehow, the eye sockets looked empty, revealing blacked-out holes where the eyes should be. Toby heard his boy whine in the background. With a sigh, Toby grabbed the bite-sized Snickers and tossed it toward the dirty sack the skeleton held at his side. With a flick of the wrist, the trick-or-treater awkwardly yanked the sack backward, letting the candy fall to the ground. Catching the light, Toby saw that the wrinkled bag was wet and stained the color of crimson. The skeletal creature, now still, continued his vacant stare. His bottom jaw moved erratically, making an odd clicking noise. After a few seconds, in a jerky motion as if it took great effort, it raised its arm and lifted the dirty pillowcase at chest level.
"All right, pal, suit yourself."
He stepped back to close the door. The skeleton lifted the sack higher and with its other hand dug inside, finally pulling out a plastic toy the size of a paperback book. It was a very detailed replica of a haunted house with cobwebs and ghosts in each window. Toby took half a step back, staring beyond the skeleton to see whether a group of his friends was putting him up to the bizarre show. Not only was the leaf-covered walkway empty, but the street and surrounding sidewalks were also empty. Just a minute ago, the neighborhood was a kinetic whirl of activity. It was as if the strange visitor had swallowed up all the fun in the surrounding darkness. The sense that something was very off about this creature brought dread that crept through Toby, bringing tightness to his chest. The feeling clung to him like a wet blanket. Something deep inside told him this wasn't just some odd teenager's attempt at a joke. His stomach muscles tightened as he watched the skeleton caress its dated toy. With a long, thin finger, the shadow creature pressed a button at the top of the well-worn decoration. The trigger lit up the windows with a dull light from inside, and organ music came from an unseen monotone speaker.
Trick or treat.
The digitized words held menace, as if they were a demand, not a cherished childhood intonation. Toby stared at the creature that his imagination was trying to convince him wasn't a man. His breathing tightened and sweat began to run down his sides. Even in his fear, politeness almost made him retrieve another piece of candy from the bowl, hoping the act would make him leave without confrontation. In the background, he could hear his children whine and bicker. The noises sounded like they were miles away. Frozen, he tried to process what this very tall kid was up to. The skeletal hand moved forward nearer to Toby's face, and the button was tapped again. This close, it smelled dirty, reminding Toby of the outhouse behind his uncle's shed up north. The recorded organ played the same dreary tune, followed by the trick-or-treat demand. Both the tune and noise held the grainy quality of a vinyl album. Toby hunched his shoulders, pulling his head closer to his body, trying to make himself smaller, a well-practiced defense mechanism for a man who had been forced to physically defend himself from a very early age.
"I don't know what you want. Please, just go."
The weakness in his voice this near to his family brought deep shame. It was a betrayal to the facade he had spent so much time cultivating, that of the brave father and husband, not the coward who had let everyone walk all over him, which was just under the surface. The skeleton moved slightly forward, taking a hesitant step toward the house. His bones jangled, making it look as if the creature were seconds away from falling into pieces. Making a guttural moan, the skull, in unison with its spindly fingers, emphatically bobbed the toy in Toby's direction, desperately urging his attention to it. Trick or treat once again echoed from the plastic house. As the button was frantically pressed, the words began slurring as if the batteries were wearing down. Despite his fear, wanting to be rid of him, Toby foolishly whispered, "Treat?" while staring into the shadows that should contain eyes. The skeleton gave a single abrupt nod, the porch light dancing along its graying surface. In a jerky motion, the hand holding the toy went slowly back into the bag. After a few seconds, it came back out, holding something the size and shape of a mini sausage wrapped in cloth, the ends held together with loosely tied strings. The skeletal head nodded as its hand thrust forward, miming for Toby to take the treat. Toby tugged at the offering with the very tips of his fingers, carefully avoiding the hand that was inches from his own, as if it were diseased. Gripping it, he felt that the treat was warm and damp, making him flinch. The second the gift was exchanged, the skeleton turned and walked away, Its movements looked like the old claymation figures from a Ray Harryhausen film, each labored movement flashing forward shaky inches at a time, as if caught in suspended animation. With an unsteady hand, it waved over its shoulder without looking back. Toby slammed the door shut and peered through the side light. With only the dull bulb from the porch, the skeleton was no longer visible. All Toby saw now was the last few leaves on his lawn dancing from the harsh wind wiping across shadows. With the door closed, it was like a great weight had been removed from his chest. As he turned back into his foyer, unsure if he should laugh or cry, he glanced down at the treat in his hand. He glared at it as if it were a hairy spider crawling up his arm. Toby thought about throwing it in the trash and forgetting the whole encounter, but something compelled him to open it. Just as he tugged at the frayed string, Stephen screamed, pulling Toby from his momentary trance. Glancing into the great room, his daughter was pulling his son's turtle mask over her head, giving her the appearance of a reptilian fairy princess.
"Emily, give that back!"
With his tiny fists clenched, Stephen knocked over the much shorter girl who was half his age, and then the hysterics began. Coming down the hallway, his wife Kay entered the room with her blonde hair in tight curls. She was wearing a white tunic stretched across her enormous belly. With her eyes wide, she looked at her husband with the familiar, "Can't you keep them in line for even a few minutes?" look. It was a favorite of hers lately, coming in second only with the comments that he was never present and that he'd better start soon.
"Emily, shut off the waterworks and give your brother his mask now."
Kay stood with her hands on her hips in her classic mother pose, waiting for the fight.
"But he hit me."
"Now, or no trick-or-treating."
The whining instantly stopped as they in unison looked to their mother, shocked by the threat. Emily rolled as she sat up, taking off the mask and tossing it to her older brother with an angelic smile. She whispered,
"Here you go, stupid."
With order restored, Toby, still slightly disoriented, shoved the small package from the night visitor into the front pocket of his pants. Nothing felt right. He was still foggy like he had just been pulled from a dream, but he was getting somewhat calmer. The children, thankfully, brought him back to reality as they usually did, a reality where he was ready to convince himself that the skeleton was just some odd joke, as he had first suspected. Kay turned, placing her hand on the cheap-looking laser pistol that hung from the holster on her belt.
"So, what do you think of pregnant Leia?"
She let out a robust laugh. Toby said quietly,
"You look great."
She did, even at 8 months pregnant. Then again, she always did. It was what caused so much tension between them. The always perfect wife married the man who was barely keeping them afloat.
"Is it cold outside?"
"It's not bad."
"Good. I hate when the kids wear jackets that cover their costumes."
She turned, grabbing plastic bags from the couch.
"All right, munchkins. Are you ready to get some loot?"
"Yeah," was yelled in unison. Toby wanted to ask whether they could wait a few minutes, thinking of the skeleton, but bit it back. Keeping it to himself made the experience feel less real. Grunting, Kay pulled on her sandals. They were the only shoes that fit since her feet began swelling.
"You sure you can't come with?"
He didn't want to be alone, but had no choice.
"We've been through this. Rick moved the meeting to first thing in the morning. I have to get the presentation ready."
"Of course you do. Wouldn't want to disappoint him."
Her smile turned quickly to a frown.
"All right then."
She walked by Toby with a disappointed look that was growing more frequent whenever they spoke. Since his promotion over a year ago, which brought in very little extra money but demanded far more of his time, the tension between them was getting out of control, making Toby obsessively question whether the unexpected pregnancy was the only thing keeping them together. With the kids trailing behind, they made it to the tight foyer. When the door opened, for an instant, Toby thought for sure the skeleton would still be there, getting ready to jump in front of his family from the shadows. A wave of relief coursed through him when he saw only the darkness of the night awaiting them.
Have fun, guys.
Emily turned back.
We will, Daddy. Please don't miss us too much, okay?
Toby smiled at the earnestness in his youngest voice. He watched him walk down the front path to the sidewalk, fighting the urge to blow off work and enjoy the night. Knowing he didn't have it in him to shirk his responsibility, he leaned against the door jamb with a sigh. The street was once again alive with the costumed children chattering and yelling way too loudly, fueled by their quest for more sugar. Knowing he had to get moving, he grabbed a candy bowl from the tiny table in the foyer and left it on the front stoop next to the Carth pumpkins, grabbing the sign he had written earlier. In bold magic marker, it read, "Please take only one piece. Happy Halloween." The candles in the jack-o'-lanterns flickered across the words. Although he knew the first group of teenagers who came by would empty the bowl, he couldn't afford the distraction of running to the door every 5 minutes. Looking down the street, he saw his family go to the first house. There was some disappointment that they could look so happy without him there. He slowly closed the door and went down the hallway to the spare bedroom he used as a makeshift office. Before he sat at his computer, he fished a package from the skeleton out of his front pocket and tossed it in the trash. After nearly 15 minutes of unproductive work, he stared down into the waste pail. The thought of what the skeleton had given him was like an earworm burrowing deeper and deeper. After retyping the same unintelligible sentence for the fourth time, he finally rolled his chair back. Bending down, he pulled the odd treat from the pail using his thumb and forefinger. Inspecting it inches from his face, the outer material felt like soft leather. As he tugged at the moist strings, something deep in his brain screamed for him to stop, but curiosity won out. With the strings off, he slowly rolled the tiny package open. Inside was what resembled a bloody tongue. Trying to identify what it was, he brought it to his nose, and the rancid odor made him recoil. Shaking his head to make the smell go away, he glimpsed the handwriting inside the worn wrapper. Smoothing it out, he read, "Finish your treat. If you don't, you will be sorry." Toby let out a nervous chuckle. The awkward laughter sounded out of place in the darkness. Reluctantly, with his finger, he pressed the sinewy material. It recoiled, feeling like compressed jelly. Placing it back on top of the trash, he thought of calling the police, or at least posting on his neighborhood watch's website, but decided not to. Whoever came up with the elaborate joke would eventually reveal themselves, and when they did, he wouldn't give them the satisfaction of showing that he was shaken. He let out a deep sigh, trying to shake the sense that this was a warning, when his phone rang, piercing the silence. A warning bell chimed inside. It was the same feeling he had when he heard a strange noise in the middle of the night, making it a struggle to reconcile it and use logic to stay calm. Anxiously, he pulled out the phone from his pants pocket. The call was from Kay.
"You didn't finish your treat. Now, here's the penance."
Shaking the horrible thought from his head, full of trepidation, he conjured the strength he didn't know he had and answered,
"Toby?"
It wasn't his wife's voice. The cadence was familiar, but he couldn't quite place it. His eyebrow twitched. The treat was an omen. You know it.
Yes.
"It's Madeline.
I live in the colonial brick house by the ravine. We met at Baker's Barbecue, remember? Well, don't know how else to say this. This is awkward. But there's a problem. Kay isn't feeling well.
He cut her off. Is it the baby?
Well, we aren't sure. She's sitting on my couch right now.
There was a shuffling sound.
She's having what I guess you could say are irregular heartbeats. We called an ambulance, Toby.
Finish your treat. If you don't, you will be sorry. His eyes flashed to the waste pail, his head filling with images of the skeleton. That was no costume.
Is she going to be all right?
I really can't say. She's in noticeable pain.
You will be sorry.
Where are the children?
They're in the kitchen with Dan, my husband. Toby, I think you better get here right away.
There was a loud scraping noise before she whispered.
I just walked away far enough so she can't hear me. It's bad, Toby. Really bad. She was standing on the porch laughing. And then a second later, it was like a lightning bolt hit her. I've never seen anything like it.
Her tone made his chest ache.
What's your address?
His eyes darted to the garbage can again, glaring at the open wrapper with the cryptic message taunting him. Electricity tingled his skin as he tried to hold onto the phone. Just eat it. Keep her and the baby safe. Bile rose in his throat, staring at the slimy, grotesque treat. His immediate thoughts were elsewhere, but some base instinct recognized the address. Mumbling,
"I'll be right there,"
his stomach dropped. Tossing the phone onto his desk, his legs felt like they could no longer hold him. Leaning forward for stability, he gripped the cold surface and gasped into the darkness.
Oh, God, please, not the baby.
Reason was rapidly evaporating as he thought of their unborn child. Just eat it, or you will be sorry. With the back of his hand, he wiped at his mouth, his skin getting caught in the stubble as his mind raced. He reached into the trash and took out the offering from the skeleton, making his stomach rumble. The cold, soggy mess contoured his hand.
This can't be happening.
But it is. The strain was making his lips quiver. What could it hurt to just eat the thing? Knowing he couldn't live with the doubt a second longer, he shoved the entire piece of what he hoped was meat into his mouth at once, violently chewing the spongy treat and trying to ignore the rancid taste and smell. Beginning to swallow, instantly his throat tried to regurgitate whatever he had just consumed, causing him to dry heave. In seconds, the barely chewed mystery treat got lodged in his throat. Coughing and wheezing with the realization that no air would pass and that there was no one around to help him, his eyes watered. Panic seized him. Fighting to swallow, the obstruction would neither go up nor down, stealing his breath. Claustrophobia crept into every muscle as he slapped at his throat. Finally, in a violent spasm, the chunk dislodged, sliding down. Gagging, he reached for the coffee cup next to his computer. Realizing it was empty, he spit into it, trying to rid himself of the awful taste. It brought a phantom memory of when his grandmother had forced him to eat partially cooked chicken gizzards to teach him a lesson about appreciating food. The memory increased the anguish of having an unknown substance in his stomach. He flinched as his phone rattled, and a text message from Kay appeared. With his eyes stinging from the aftertaste, he swiped up the phone. There was a picture of his kids in their costumes, holding plastic bags with stencils of a haunted house printed on them. Beneath the photo was the caption, "Too much candy," in bold lettering. It's real. The warning was real. You saved them. Hyperventilating, Toby frantically hit the call button, considering that maybe this was just a delayed text and not proof of the skeleton's power. A heaving voice said,
"Hello?
Kay?"
"No, it's not Kay."
Toby's heart paused as he waited for Madeline to ask why he was calling back instead of rushing over.
"It's Princess Leia."
She let out her throaty laugh. Toby, despite his fear, could picture her oversized belly dancing in the white tunic she was wearing. For the first time in what felt like a year, it seemed like he could get enough air into his lungs to stay upright.
"Are you okay?"
"Yeah, why wouldn't I be? I'm not that fat yet. Although I wish I could have worn my gym shoes instead of these dumbass sandals. My dogs are barking."
"Didn't you just have Madeline call me?"
"All right, seriously, what's up with you? You drinking? Who's Madeline?"
Toby became dizzy. So dizzy that he laid his head against the desktop as squiggly lines floated across his eyes. He didn't know if it was from what he ate or relief.
"Maybe they're all in on it, and you fell for it, eating that disgusting hunk of flesh."
Toby knew Kay had been unhappy for some time, but it was hard to accept that she would do something like this to him.
"Nothing. Ignore me."
"Okay."
In the background, the kids were screaming for them to go. It was getting late. Kay yelled back,
"Hold your horses. There's plenty of time. Toby, seriously, what's going on with you?"
Although he needed to know what he just ate, he wouldn't give her the satisfaction of knowing how gullible he was.
"Nothing. I'll see you when you get back."
"Okay. It should be around another half hour. By then, our little turtle and princess will be worn out."
Before he could respond, the doorbell rang twice in quick succession. He looked toward the dark hallway, saying,
"See you then."
The words were a whisper. Seconds later, the door opened, followed by the warning sound of organ music coming from the living room. After a crackle of synthetic thunder, there was the hoarse voice saying once again,
"Trick or treat."
He knew he'd locked the door. He was sure of it. Using the desk for support, he inched his way to a standing position. Looking at the baseball bats in the corner, he thought better than to arm himself. The anger was too great. Slowly, with his legs shuffling across the hardwood floor, he made his way to the main room. It was dark except for the light coming from the foyer, creating odd silhouettes. Standing in the middle of the room was his tormentor. He held his dirty sack at his side and the plastic toy in his thin fingers. Slowly it dropped the bag and waved Toby to it with its index finger, moving in rhythmic motion. Clicking on the light, Toby lost all doubt. This was no trick. On this sacred night, the dead had come to visit him. A wave of cold settled into his bones, making him shiver. With no shadows to hide behind, he could see through the center of the hideous being.
"Please leave."
His request was met with the finger moving more rapidly, beckoning him closer. Feeling like someone was stabbing him with needles, Toby slowly moved backward. The skeleton lurched forward and took Toby's hand, clenching it with what felt like a vice. In a swift motion, Toby's fingers were raised to his exposed teeth, and the flesh was pierced with a flicking motion. Shock froze him in place. Like a baby on a bottle, it sucked, pulling blood. The veins in Toby's arm swelled and ached as the skeleton sucked life from him. The blood, having no throat to guide it, trickled down the spine and oozed into the rib cage. The red liquid seemed to awaken something. The bones absorbed it, making the creature appear more whole. After nearly a half a minute, The skeleton let go of its grip and sat down on the couch, no longer in awkward jerking motions. Toby tugged at his aching finger, wheeling the skeleton away with his stare. The creature did not budge. It just sat there still, with its head tilted slightly upward, glaring at Toby. Consumed with fury, thinking of all the hideous creature had put him through, Toby leaned forward, grabbed the skeleton's wrist, intent on throwing him out the door, and screamed,
"Why are you doing this?"
With a tug, the entire arm came loose at the shoulder. The lack of resistance caused Toby to lose his balance, sending him toppling over the coffee table into the designer chair. Repulsed, he thrust the appendage onto his lap. As soon as it was free of his grip, it slithered like a snake, the fingers leading the way until they were around his neck and tightened with remarkable strength. With its other hand, the skeleton grabbed the haunted house toy, lifting it onto the arm of the couch, and pressed the button. This time, after the foreboding organ and thunder, the incantation changed.
"Thank you for your nourishment."
Toby spat and coughed, fighting desperately to get free of the grip.
"What did you make me eat?"
The words brought the aftertaste of the spongy substance.
"That was all that was left of my human form."
"Why?"
"You chose my treat as a trade-off."
"For what?"
"For your wife's and children's lives. You see, it was necessary, as I needed a host to begin my transformation."
Realizing his place in the bizarre ritual, Toby tried to scream, causing the skeleton to snap its fingers, making the hand around his throat tighten. Choking, Toby fought against the darkness that was coming over him. The skeleton pressed the button on top of the toy once more. As the organ music played, he snapped its fingers again, and the grip loosened.
"Do not make me do that again."
The room became eerily silent as the skeleton made a gazeless stare, inclining its head slightly toward the plastic facade. The words pierced the silence.
"You must now choose."
Toby, trying desperately to release the grip from the hand at his throat, croaked out,
"Choose what?"
"The unborn child, or its father's life."
The words struck like bullets hidden deep inside him. He leaned forward, becoming disoriented. Fear was choking out logic. All he knew now was what he felt. His life had passed the boundary of reason to a place where a skeleton could control everything. Weeping, he muttered,
"Please, please, no."
"We haven't much time. I still have work to do tonight."
Toby stared at the unfeeling demon that sat before him. His mind was racing, trying to find a way out. Glaring at the fireplace poker to his right, as if the skeleton could read his mind, the fingers surrounding his throat tightened, and the toy house said no in its electronic cadence. Defeated, Toby squeaked out,
"Don't harm the baby."
"You sure?"
"Yes."
The fear was turning to anger as he struggled against the claw-like hand bruising his throat.
"It will be done before the evening is over."
The skeleton snapped its fingers, and this time the arm slithered away, back to the skeleton. With a sickening noise, it reattached itself, making the gruesome creature whole once again. Slowly, it grabbed its plastic toy from the couch and lovingly placed it back into the sack. The skeleton stood, and then with a quick nod of his bare skull, sauntered toward the front door. As the door slammed, Toby thought about chasing the creature, but he knew it was useless. What was done was done. Less than 20 minutes later, Kay came back with the kids. Toby had no idea how long it would take the skeletal visitor to collect its dark debt. He chose to make his last minutes as pleasant as he could. He spent the next hour feeling like he was strapped to a bomb. Every second filled with fear, loathing, and doubt. Like a zombie, he went along his nightly routine, trying to pretend none of this had taken place. As he put the children to bed, he kissed them for what he assumed was the final time. The sadness was so deep that he eventually felt nothing more than a dull ache from shock. After watching them sleep for a while, he made it to his own bed. He looked at Kay and had so many things to say that he couldn't control his tongue. He wanted to clear the air and leave. Having made sure she wouldn't carry any guilt for who they'd become over the last year with the strain of the children, financial burdens, and an unexpected child on the way. When he opened his mouth, Toby's lip quivered so violently that he bit his fist to stop himself from weeping uncontrollably. As he was about to speak, the house phone rang. The voice on the other end was his sister-in-law.
Toby, are you there?
The concern in her tone made his stomach turn.
Trish, what is it?
Toby, it's your brother. Something terrible has happened.
What is it?
He took the dog for a walk, and some type of animal tore him limb from limb.
There was a long sobbing cry.
The police said most of his skin is gone.
Toby, wondering what was happening to his family, asked,
How bad is he?
I don't think he's going to make it to the hospital.
Toby could hear his nephews barking questions at their mother in the background.
I can't handle this. I need you here to help make decisions.
Where are you?
Following the ambulance to Mercy.
Kay grabbed his arm.
What's going on?
It's Hal. He was attacked.
He grabbed her hand.
It doesn't look like he's going to make it.
Kay let out a shrill cry, grabbing her belly.
No, how can this be? What about...
Tears streamed from her face as she rocked back and forth, cradling her belly. As Toby glared at her, he recognized guilt in her stare. The voice of the skeleton echoed in his head.
Or the baby's father.
He slapped his hand to his mouth, holding back the words that would confirm what he didn't want to believe. Filled with disgusted relief, he got off the bed and glared at Kay. She lay face down, using the pillows to stifle her sobs. Toby began pacing, wanting equally to leave and hug his wife. The doorbell rang twice. It was like a hypnotist's bell. In a trance, he walked to the front door. He opened it slowly, knowing what he was going to see. Standing before him was the skeleton, draped in his brother's skin, the stained flesh sagging, giving the appearance of a demented doll. This time, it didn't bother with the plastic toy. It simply reached into the sack, pulling out a treat. Toby reached for the disgusting cloth. After delivering its gift, the skeleton slowly walked away, its new skin sagging and rolling with each measured step as it disappeared into the darkness. When the door was closed, Toby quickly unwrapped the unwanted gift. When the strings came off, he fought to control his breathing. He stared down into his palms, not believing what he clearly saw. Once again, there was a handwritten message on the inside of the wrapper.
See you next year.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
And that was Treats by Jason Fisher. A good reminder to keep your treat in your pants sometimes. A little about the author. Jason Fisher is a horror and crime author specializing in anthologies. When not writing, you can find Jason biking the trails around his home, playing with his nephews, adding to his VHS collection, or on the deck feeding the deer and enjoying nature. This one's from his book, Your Place Is Here Now, which you can find at VeloxBooks.com. Audible soon. Hey, thanks, Jason.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. I say it every year. If anyone can point us towards some Thanksgiving horror, have at it. Otherwise, it's just business as usual. Anyway, may the wind be at your back and may the road rise up to meet you. And until we meet again, go fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all.